You're listening to the Rocky Mountain Review, an on-air news show turned podcast. I am one of your hosts, Gabe Peterson, and on today's show, we discuss another Fort Collins police officer making headlines this week after performing a controlled takedown on a female suspect caught on video. The Colorado Supreme Court shot down a state law banning immigrant smuggling in the state of Colorado. 36-year-old Silverton resident Shai Cato was found safe and sound after disappearing for 3 days at the Missouri Mountain. Wildfires in California continue to spread as hundreds are still missing and evacuations are being issued. Catalonia has continued to push for independence, which has caused for some violent outbreaks in Spain. Collegian reporter Michelle Fredrickson stops by for a live interview regarding National Coming Out Day. Later on in our roundtable segment, Collegian reporter Tatiana Talisnik stops by to discuss how CSU students will be directly impacted by the Trump administration's decision to roll back mandates for companies to provide birth control to their employees. I'm Gabe Peterson, and thanks for listening to the Rocky Mountain Review. Enjoy today's show. And welcome back to the Rocky Mountain Review. I am your co-news director, Gabe Peterson. I am joined with my other co-news director, Julia Battalese.
That is me.
That is you. We have J.D. Layton, our national news correspondent, in studio again.
As always.
As always.
I live here.
You live here. Mm. And joining us today is Michelle Fredrickson, a Collegian reporter, and we are going to do a little interview with her about what the piece that she wrote. How are you?
I'm doing great, Gabe. Thanks. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's good to have you. Thanks
good
for coming
to be
on.
Here.
So today we're going to go right into local. We have a couple stories for you there. I guess I would be starting that off.
You are, actually.
Yeah, I am. A Fort Collins police officer is under investigation by the Fort Collins Police Department after a video was released showing him performing a controlled takedown on a female suspect Friday. According to the Denver Post, Robert Garrison and the Fort Collins Police Department, the unnamed officer was on his way to a work assignment when he observed the woman speeding. He then followed her until she parked and appears to show her his badge. The officer was off duty and was not in uniform during the encounter. The unidentified woman continued to walk away from the officer, and it can be seen in the video that she stops to look through her purse and then attempts to leave on foot. At this point, the officer grabs her arm and proceeds to restrain her. Quote, "The woman was cited for careless driving and obstructing a police officer before being released," says Garrison. From Robert Garrison, Channel 7 in Denver, there was a bystander that reportedly called the police during the incident and took a video that was posted to his Facebook page. This video comes just months after a video of a Fort Collins police officer using force to restrain a young woman, a CSU student, outside of Bondi Bar in Old Town Fort Collins. The Fort Collins Police Department is conducting an internal investigation on the officer in question. Now over to Julia.
Yeah, and that last story was also written by Raven Culler, one of our newest reporters, actually.
Yes, thank you, Raven.
So the Colorado Supreme Court shot down a state law that didn't allow for immigrant smuggling in the state of Colorado. From John Ingold of the Denver Post, the law was originally passed in 2006, and it made it illegal to provide payment in exchange for transportation into the U.S. or the state of Colorado due to the violations with immigration laws. The vote was close, coming to a 4-3 vote, ultimately stopping the ban against immigrant smuggling because there is said to be a federal law that conflicts with the Colorado state law. From Channel 7 in Denver, State Attorney General Cynthia Kaufman expressed her disdain after the final vote, saying, quote, "Colorado's human smuggling law was not designed to interfere with federal immigration policy," and that, quote, "our laws were enacted to serve the important purpose of protecting and vindicating the innocent victims of serious crimes." Ingold also reports that one difference between the federal law is that it requires proof that shows that those being smuggled are, quote, in the country illegally, while the Colorado law simply asks that prosecutors prove that they thought they were being transported illegally. Justice Allison Eade, one of three voting in opposition, was also disappointed in the outcome, stating the Colorado statute was in place to, quote, protect, not punish, the passengers of human smuggling operations, regardless of immigration status. The Associated Press reported that Cynthia Kaufman does plan on appealing the decision to the U.S. Supreme Court. I thought that was pretty interesting, actually, that story itself.
Yeah, it is interesting.
I guess I might be like okay with it just because it seemed interesting that the federal law like wanted proof, I guess, to make sure that they were actually like, I guess, not supposed to be in the country instead of, because it seems like there's more room for like racial targeting, in my opinion. That's what it seemed like anyway.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, I think that providing proof under the laws is probably the most important thing for, like, having crime. So it's like, if you can't prove it, you're just being wrong, man. You're not being just.
Being wrong, man.
And then anyway, I'm going to throw it over to JD about the missing hiker that got found.
A hiker who went missing Saturday during their ascent of Missouri Mountain has been found alive and safe. 36-year-old Silverton resident Shui Kato was found safe and sound on Tuesday, a short 5 miles from the summit of the 14,000-foot, 75-foot peak, writes Tom McGee of the Denver Post. According to Chaffee County Sheriff John Spez, Kato managed to build a fire for warmth and is fine. He is in great shape with no physical problems. Rescuers located Kato on Tuesday around midday after having been called off the trail on Monday due to adverse weather conditions. Kato, an experienced mountaineer, according to CBS 4 News, had planned to summit Saturday morning and raised red flags when he failed to return that afternoon. Chaffee County Sheriff's deputies located his vehicle at the trailhead for Missouri Peak and immediately notified Chaffee County Search and Rescue. According to the Denver Post, at least 45 searchers looked for Kato on Sunday with the help of 3 helicopters, but rescuers were still not able to locate him. The search was reportedly suspended at nightfall and was scheduled to continue on Monday, but was again postponed due to snow in the Collegiate Mountain Range, making rescuing efforts increasingly dangerous to undertake. Kato was apparently spotted by a helicopter. Thanks to the fire, he had managed to ignite for warmth and returned home to his friends and family in Summit County yesterday evening. That was a story written by one of our reporters, Will Bundy.
Mm-hmm. Was.
It was. So we're going to jump into national news now.
No.
No.
That's wrong, Gabe.
Oh, we're not.
We're in an interview. No. Interview with Michelle.
Okay. All righty.
You're
Michelle.
Like, oh, yes.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great. So just for everybody out there who didn't read your story, do you just want to give like a quick synopsis of what it is you wrote about and just what conversion therapy is as a whole?
Sure. So I am a columnist for the Collegian, and I'm a master's in public health student, so I write about mostly issues relating to health. And I wrote a column about conversion therapy after I read the news that Westminster became the first town in Colorado to officially disavow the practice. Conversion therapy, for anybody who doesn't know, is the practice of using cognitive behavioral therapy to try to change a person's sexuality. It used to involve electroshock therapy and castration and institutionalization, and now involves cognitive behavioral therapy, including inducing adverse reactions to homoerotic imagery and associating the ideas of homosexuality with physical illness.
Okay.
So I wrote a column once I read that Westminster was the first town in Colorado to disavow this practice, saying that it was absurd to me that only one town had done it and that Fort Collins should really step up and do it next.
So did you directly write your article after finding out about Westminster, or is it more of like an issue that like you deeply care about, or like you have seen somebody being affected by it at all, or did you just do it after Westminster kind of condemned it?
I did it after Westminster condemned it, mostly because it seemed to me like something that any decent human being would have a problem with,
mm-hmm.
and was something that I had hoped would, at this point in our country's history, have been a lot more discouraged,
mm-hmm.
because there is over 20 years of scientific evidence showing that this practice, one, doesn't work, and two, is actually extremely harmful for people who are forced to undertake it.
Now, you mentioned that Colorado only has one town, Westminster, that kind of like condemns. It's not banned, right? It's just condemned.
Right. It's not banned. The process to actually ban it would be a lot more complicated. What they did was at their city council meeting, the Westminster City Council issued a statement saying that they, as a city, condemn the practice.
Okay. Do other states have other states banned this practice, condemned it at all, or is Colorado kind of one of the first states to kind of ban this?
Well, actually, there are some states that have laws making it illegal for minors to undergo conversion therapy. And so essentially you have to be an adult in some states.
So 18?
Yes.
18 and up?
Right. That's okay.
And that's still kind of allowed around America?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Around America.
In the general vicinity.
In the general vicinity of America, it is 18 and up. The practices are allowed. They are, by and large, espoused by the fundamentalist Christian groups.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And not all of them, there are so many different branches of fundamentalist Christianity, but most of the proponents of this type of therapy, which is, I don't want to call it a therapy. It's not a therapy. It's more of a type of torture, are from one of those groups.
Okay. In your article, you kind of mentioned A Clockwork Orange. Have you read that book? And if for the listeners out there who don't necessarily know what Clockwork Orange is, can you kind of just give a quick abstract of what it's about?
Sure. So A Clockwork Orange is a book by Anthony Burgess, and it is a very ethically interesting book. Its main character is a murderer and a rapist who is forced to undergo the cognitive behavioral therapy, like I mentioned earlier, that involves inducing physical illness in response to certain images. And the book's message is pretty clear that this type of behavior is incredibly unethical to do, even to someone who is the worst kind of criminal. But so in my article, I mentioned this book because the type of therapy that is used in conversion therapy, the type of correctional behavior that's used in this in conversion therapy is the same thing that A Clockwork Orange is really about. And the point of that whole book is that this is an incredibly unethical practice. Hmm. And so my reasoning was, well, if it's an incredibly unethical practice, even for the worst of society's criminals, why do some people still think it's okay to do to the LGBTQ community?
Okay. I had no idea that it was a fictional book. It's obviously fictional, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you mentioned that Westminster brought up the issue at the city council meeting in Westminster, and then you mentioned that Fort Collins, it needs to be brought up at the next city council meeting. Is this something that you personally are going to try and bring up, or is there like a social activist group around Fort Collins that is trying to tackle this issue? Or,
well, there is a social activist group in Fort Collins, the Fort Collins for Progress group. I'm sure would be open to bringing up this issue, but I'm a member of that group, and I would be also very open to bringing this up at the next Fort Collins City Council meeting. So if I haven't personally talked to anybody yet about plans to bring it up at the meeting, but if nobody else has existing plans, then I certainly wouldn't be opposed to doing it, because I really do feel strongly that Fort Collins needs to take action on this.
Cool. So then you mentioned it's more of like a religious thing that conversion therapy is. Do you feel like that's why it's still not banned or condemned everywhere, is just because of religion, or is it more just like the ideology behind it that people still think it works?
I think it has to do a lot with religion, and also with sort of the culture that we have in America right now. The same groups that tend to espouse this belief also tend to disavow other things that are scientifically pretty sound, like evolution and vaccinations.
And you mentioned that in your article.
I did, yes. And so groups that seem to be selectively ignorant of science are the groups that are trying to keep this issue alive.
Yeah.
And Mike Pence is one of them.
Okay.
He has called him out. Yeah, call him out. I have no problem calling out Mike Pence. He has said that if he were gay, he would want to undergo electroshock therapy.
Wow.
And so, yeah.
It's pretty wild.
What kind of practices does conversion therapy undergo? You said like castration, electrotherapy, all that kind of stuff.
Most of that stuff is the castration and electroshock therapy are pretty well in the past in most
practices. Yeah, I was going to say in 2017.
Yes,
yeah.
Thankfully. because of the vast amount of ethical problems with those. So now it's a little bit more subtle, more of a psychological form of torment.
So is it like they go to a therapist kind of thing?
Usually there are a lot of different ways you can do it. Sure. Like you can go to a therapist. There are those Pray the Gay Away camps that are usually a type of this practice.
Okay. Final question for me. Do you believe that more states and or towns in Colorado will ban this quote-unquote therapy or in the near future, or do you think this battle will continue to go on for like years to come?
Well, I think the battle is certainly going to go on for years to come, but I'm hopeful that seeing Westminster take action on a local level, it will become more apparent to towns across Colorado and really across the country that if the states and the federal government are not capable of taking action on this issue, then the local towns need to step up and do it.
Cool. Awesome. Well, Michelle, thank you so much for coming on the show.
All right. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Anybody else? Julia?
No, I just listened and enjoyed.
Good. good knowledge there. Well, thank you, Michelle. I guess we're going to jump right back into national.
Yeah, so we're going to throw it over to JD again with some of the wildfires in California.
Yeah. California wine country is ablaze with one of the most devastating wildfires in recent memory. As the wildfire enters its fifth day, rescuers are focusing on finding the dead and missing, reports Cleve Woodson of the Washington Post. Nine fires in the heart of California's wine country are ablaze, with the largest of them in Sonoma County. Known as the Tubbs Fire, burning over 6,000 acres, the firefighters who have been responding to the Tubbs Fire have worked for days straight and are often victims themselves of the same fire, reports Woodson. Statewide, 8,000 firefighters have been deployed to contain and control the various blazes throughout the state, reports Woodson. According to Woodson, in many parts of wine country, the smoke is so thick it nearly blocks out the sun and forces residents to wear masks while outdoors. Federal aid is being strained between the 22 natural disasters that are being attended to across the nation, and 85% of the full-time employees of FEMA are already out in the field. However, with some of the Northern California fires nearing containment, resources can be shifted towards addressing these blazes, reports Woodson. According to KQED, at least 26 people have perished in the blaze, and at least 265 square miles of roughly 170,000 acres are on fire. Governor Jerry of California stated, "We have had big fires in the past. This is one of the biggest and most serious, and it's not over yet," reports KQED.
That's sad stuff out there.
Yeah, it's...
And they still don't know how it started,
nope.
Correct?
It just... The thing that blows my mind is 22 natural disasters. It's... This is ridiculous at this point.
I know. Why
it's heartbreaking, too.
I know.
There are these people who are losing everything to flooding, to fires, to...
What else?
Yeah, makes you kind of think, like Michelle said, you know, deniers of climate change almost. I feel like this could potentially be a strong case for that. But anyways, Julia, you have a Catalonia story?
I do have.
We're going across the
Catalonia
pond.
Story.
Way across the pond.
Catalonia is an autonomous community of Spain located on the eastern Iberian Peninsula that has been the center of international news for the past few days. Catalonia consists of four provinces: Barcelona, Girona, Lleida, and Tarragona. Early at the beginning of this month, Catalonia made news when its president, Carles Puigdemont, made indications the country was going to declare independence from Spain. However, James Masters of CNN reports that the president has delayed a formal declaration of independence from Spain. This is to encourage dialogue with Madrid. Puigdemont gave an address to the Catalonian Parliament in Barcelona, announcing the delay on Tuesday. Days ago, a refuted referendum, Catalonia separating from Spain to some degree, was declared illegal by officials in Spain. According to Masters, Soraya Sáenz, Spain's deputy prime minister, had dismissing words for the president of Spain. His recent words were, "The speech of the president of Catalonia is of someone who doesn't know where he's going and what he wants to do." Sam Jones of The Guardian reports, Mariana Rajoy, the Spanish prime minister, has asked Puigdemont to clarify that what his intentions are, whether Catalonia is in fact declaring independence or not. Puigdemont also has signed a declaration of independence, but has stated before he has proposed the effects of the declaration to be on delay so that future talks can go on. Rafael Minder of the New York Times says, pending a response from the Catalonian government, Prime Minister Rajoy has requested the government to use Article 155 of the Spanish Constitution, which would allow Spain to use forceful measures to take control of Catalonia. The article would specifically allow Madrid to suspend lawmakers of Catalonia and take control of the administration of Catalonia. As further clarification from Puigdemont is needed, the political tensions between Madrid and Catalonia continue to rise. That story is by one of our reporters, Joe Green.
Nice. Very nice. It's a long story there, Julia.
I am really good at talking for a long time.
All right. Well, that was local, national, as well as our interview with Michelle Fredrickson. We are going to take a quick break here at the Rocky Mountain Review. When we come back, we are going to jump into our roundtable segment about The Trump administration's stance on birth control, and we're going to have Tatiana Telesnik. Is that her last name?
I think so.
I said it wrong to her one time, and she corrected me, and I still don't know how to do it. I'm terrible at names.
It's a
anyways,
tough one.
We're going to take a quick break. Michelle, thank you so much again for coming on.
No
pleasure.
Problem. Thanks for having me.
Stay tuned. And welcome back to the Rocky Mountain Review. Wow, that just really played right in there. I am your co-news director, Gabe Peterson. I am joined in studio with my other co-news director, Julia Badalese.
I like how you say other co-news director because it makes it sound like there's another one.
Well, there
like
could be. JD's in here so much.
I live here. Give me the...
No.
Which brings up JD Layton, our national news correspondent, is in studio.
Hey, everybody.
And joining us for our roundtable debate is Tatiana. I'm going to mess this up. Tatiana.
Wait. Parafunic Tzluznik?
Oh, that was bad right off the bat.
What was it?
Parafunic Tzluznik.
Tatiana Tzluznik. I'm just going to skip
Parafunic. It's Parafunic Tzluznik.
It's fine. I won't get confused with the other Tzluznik.
Okay, perfect. So today we are going to talk about the Trump administration kind of calling back mandates for companies to provide birth control for their employees. Is it just employees or is it for like family members as well? I guess that would be employers too.
Yeah, I think it just depends on what packages they're offering their employees.
And I guess like we were talking about earlier today, it kind of affects some CSU students as well.
Right.
Do you want to talk about that a little bit, Tatiana?
Well, I think like it depends on who they're employed by, but this will affect students like of our age. This will affect women, basically, is that now the options that employers have as far as what they're providing their employees with is just, it's so much larger because at first we had this thing where it was like, if you have a religious objection, you can have out. And that was that drama with Hobby Lobby, mm-hmm. if y'all remember a bit back when we decided that corporations are people mm-hmm. and they can have a religion.
Was that 3 years ago?
Right.
Yeah.
And so then now... they really opened up that more narrow thing to be religious and moral exemptions. So if you're just like, nope, I'm out morally, it's not even about religion, I just don't feel like it, you can have out.
Do you have to prove that you don't want to pay, or can you just simply say no, like if you just don't want to provide birth control?
My understanding is, so this just happened last week,
yeah.
So we're going to have to see how this plays out
yep.
and see what kind of excuses people come up with. But, I mean, moral objection is pretty vague. Like,
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of companies are going to be like, I just would like to object because I don't feel like paying for that.
And companies had to provide birth control with health insurance before this,
right.
or under Obama, right?
Yeah, and yes. Except for if you had, like, a religious
app. Yeah, so Hobby Lobby.
Right,
okay.
basically, and
yeah.
companies like that. And so, I mean, there's just a plethora of reasons why you would provide birth control, but, I mean, health reasons as well as contraceptive reasons. And so now, yeah, my understanding is that anyone can get out. Again, we're going to have to see how this plays out.
Mm.
So,
I guess for me and JD, it doesn't really apply. But, like, as girls, like, how do you feel?
I mean,
like,
I think
that's where you're wrong, because I think it does apply because we interact with, like,
I guess.
Like
you
women
so.
A
few.
Lot.
I guess
you
so.
Women.
Like, not in that respect.
Women.
I mean, like, we know people that this will, like, affect. So
right.
it's, like, sort of limiting people's access to, like, how they can sort of control their reproductive rights is a bit ridiculous.
Right.
It's like that.
Okay.
I'm not necessarily a big fan of it, but I also don't think that a good majority of companies, I mean, as profit maximizing as they are going to sort of be like, nah, I'm sure you'll see some, but I would sincerely hope it's not going to be as big of a drop off as some forecasts have made it be.
Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of an optimistic outlook, but I hope you're right.
I actually saw in the LA Times it said, like, the vast majority of companies, like, don't have a problem with offering birth control
mm-hmm.
benefits, which was definitely a good thing to see. There was some... I was looking back at a Washington Post article, and it was saying that there was a price hike in contraceptives in Chile.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I have that in my notes right now.
yeah, and then it led to, like, a 4% increase in the country's birth rate. And it was, like, there was also, like, data showing an increase in fetal deaths, low birth weight, and infant deaths.
Right, because those... The study demonstrated that it wasn't just a random, like, these unconnected events happened, like, randomly birth the birth rate increased, it was like, no, this is actually unplanned birth rate, because that's demonstrated through fatal deaths and all these other things that are evidence of unintended pregnancy.
Do you know what caused the price shift to cause that demographic data to appear?
Go ahead.
I think it, well, so there was like three pharmaceutical retailers in Chile that colluded to increase the price of nearly like all contraceptive drugs.
Okay.
And then
like a pharma bro situation.
So the oligopoly that ran Chile's pharmaceutical business upped the prices, and you see a direct increase in fetal death as well as unplanned births.
Low birth weight and infant deaths. And they said that like prices for some places, like birth control methods, doubled.
Yeah, and then the consequences of that go beyond that immediate health situation. The consequences are also in like livelihood of people, right? Because we have children who are not planned for. So then these children were less likely to be in, because this was in 2007. So we know now that these children were less likely to be in kindergarten as well as first grade and second grade. So it's not just about that immediate health and that immediate planning, but then beyond that, like
it's a span of a lifetime.
You like see those shifts immediately.
And even that, it's like because they're like unplanned pregnancies, it was more likely that they were like younger. So then the children were like expected to be more disadvantaged.
Yeah.
Basically there's a lot of problems.
I don't know the answer to this. Is like Planned Parenthood like being affected by this at all, or is that like a completely different like conversation when it comes to like birth control and contraception and all that?
I think that's kind of a separate conversation. Okay. I mean, certainly they'll be affected just because as like we expectations shift of what employers are providing, then the pressure on Planned Parenthood to kind of fill in those holes will be different. But again, I think we'll just see that play out as it goes.
Okay.
It's hard to know now.
Yeah.
I saw an article, I'm trying to find it. It like mentioned what Trump's doing to like Saudi Arabia. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Did you read that article?
I didn't.
He's like turning it into like a, God, I wish I could find it. I can't find it. Google's not helping me out right now. But just basically said like it's like the Iranian Revolution, I guess, is what that article was like trying to say. I have no idea how that plays. That's what I'm saying. I was wondering if any of you guys read that article, because there's not that many articles on here about this. I feel like
I will look it up, but I am also confused on where this comes into play.
It was just like a blog from some girl. I forget.
Sounds credible.
Yeah, that does not sound like.
I saw the comparison. I saw that. At least I. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that a lot of people are looking at that in connection to this and trying to say like democracy and freedom and what Trump is supposedly providing with these changes is freedom, so that we're not in this strict government that mandates that women be covered. Like it's a hard argument for me to even like articulate, because obviously like I cannot subscribe to it, but you know, like it's hard for the words to come out of my mouth, but like I did just read this from the National Review.
So you read the same thing.
So basically like a lot of people are defending this as like actually liberal policy, right? Because you have all this freedom to do what you want to do, but like in my mind it's not really. It comes back to this conversation we had as a country 3 years ago, are corporations people? Because right now the argument is that you're granting freedom, but can you grant a corporation freedom? I think people need freedom, not corporations.
It's a good argument.
It is a good argument. Kind of like NFL owners fire NFL players.
Or taking or letting a river sue a government.
Yeah, is a river an entity? We had that conversation last week.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
The lawsuit.
Yeah, what a lawsuit.
I don't know. I feel like to take away birth control and contraception is kind of morally wrong to me. I feel like I don't know.
Well, and I just feel like it's not like there's so many reasons like to have birth control. It's not just like a contraceptive. It's also used for like cramps, pain, stuff like that.
I mean, so, agreeing.
Yeah, so I just feel like there's so many benefits from it. It makes it seem just a little bit weird for, I guess, to take that away, I guess. And I mean, there has been backlash Washington State is suing President Trump since Monday. I think there were a few others too. Let's see, other Democratic leaning states, including Massachusetts and California, sued on Friday, as did the American Civil Liberties Union. Yeah. So
there's a lot of pushback on this, and this is something that, this is a conversation I've had in a lot of my classes. I'm pursuing a degree in women's studies, so this is a conversation we have a lot, where we kind of separate women's health as this separate thing. But in that, we have this philosophy where it's like being, the natural way to be born is to be a man, and to be a woman is like this extra, or to be a woman is like an extra accessory we chose, and not just kind of like a natural state of being. Do you see how like separating out women's health makes it sound like being a woman is like decorative and extra and not just part of the natural experience?
Yeah. Hmm. I see what you're saying.
It's like a hard thing to conceptualize because we are so good at separating out women's issues and a woman's doctor and a woman's clinic as if a woman's body is something that you can opt into, like, you know, like a video game player, like, oh, I'm getting this extra special body, like, and not something that is kind of a natural thing to be. And so this is, I think this shows this philosophy we have in a really clear way, is that when we separate at women's needs, because what you brought up, birth control is helpful not only for contraceptive, but for issues with cysts, decreasing risks of cancer, decreasing risks of infection. It's really good for endometriosis. It's like really important for those women, and that affects like 10% of women. Hmm. So like, it's huge beyond contraception.
I don't even know what that word means.
So
you should inform us.
So this is a thing that affects a lot of women. This is like horrible, horrible pain upon getting your period.
That
like
sounds
unlivable
horrible.
Pain. And there's no cure. And there's no understanding of it. And this is not something that a small amount of women have. This is like 10% of women.
Wow.
A lot of women are really affected by this, and they just have to live their lives day to day when there's no cure, and there's not a lot of conversation about it, clearly, right?
Clearly.
Yeah.
And so birth control is one of those things that alleviates some of the symptoms. It doesn't solve it, but it does alleviate. And so now more employers can opt out of providing this for their employees. To me, it again demonstrates that we see women as this like extra weird way to be a human, and the natural way to be a human is to be a man. Mm-hmm. Am I making sense?
No, that makes sense.
No, 100%.
We're picking up what you're putting down.
Yeah, it's actually a very interesting, thought-provoking.
No, you know? And I guess I had never like really thought of that in that context.
I haven't
either.
The
fact that you've brought it up, it's like, oh yeah, we do definitely sort of.
I'm having an epiphany.
Perfect.
What do you think about? Sorry, Judy.
She cut me off.
I killed the moment.
We're really good at separating ourselves and pointing out differences, whether they're actually there or not.
Mm-hmm.
Right. There you
definitely.
Go.
Definitely.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What about Speaker Paul Ryan said that this is a landmark day for religious liberty. What do you think about that quote?
The two women in the room, just that nice little like sigh of Paul Ryan.
Paul
religious
Ryan.
Liberty.
Religious
I mean,
liberty.
Religious liberty.
Couldn't you already opt out of it religiously in the first place?
Right. That's what's really confusing about this, is that they're expanding it beyond religion into moral.
Just saying, oh, I don't want to do it.
Right. You're right. It was already, there was already a religious opt out. We all learned this with Hobby Lobby.
Then what's the point then? What?
It's extra free.
What was the purpose of the statement then?
It's so strange. I mean,
I really like that phrase that you just said there. It's extra free. Like, you're just like...
You're super free. You're super free to oppress women. And I know like oppress is like a big scary word, but like you're free to oppress women, because I think it is oppressive to be in a society where you have to, by nature of your existence, you're going to have to pay more money and go through more pain. Is oppressive. And so it's interesting because the words liberty and freedom are words that are included in rhetoric that is very anti-woman oftentimes. And so these words are kind of co-opted in a way that makes us all feel like warm and fuzzy, like we are all so free to hate women and to not provide them with birth control. It's an upsetting statement. I mean, like our little groan that you heard with the same tone, same volume, like a little
sigh.
Can
we just get like a button of that and play it whenever something happens?
Whenever Paul Ryan talks, honestly.
Yeah, seriously. If people like Hobby Lobby could already like it was already like a thing to say like religiously, I guess I'm blown away to find out that that's true and that they're making this mandate now. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any sense to me.
No, and I try to like, although I can have my very strong feelings, I try to think about what other people might believe. And I think about people who, like, I have a grandmother who like is really sad, like tears in her eyes, sadness when we talk about contraception and abortion and issues like that. She's really, in her heart, she feels like baby killing is happening. And I try to think about that. I try to think about how people genuinely go to bed, not with what they don't think they're going to bed with misogyny in their heart. They think they're going to bed with love for unborn babies, right? Mm-hmm. But it's, again, that we just kind of compartmentalize women's health as this, like, extra thing that you can opt into and not just part of health, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's hard for me to think about, like, yes, religious people are interested in babies being born because babies are the intentions of God, but I think that they're forgetting about all these other facts, straight up facts, that it's, you're going to save lives, sometimes like literally as far as like people life or death, but sometimes like just livelihoods, mm-hmm. if you provide them with the medicine that they need.
Mm-hmm. I think that's going to do it.
I think maybe. I don't know. Let me decide. I gotta decide if I have something else to say. Well, because I was reading the Huffington Post as well, and they're requiring. So they were saying that requiring insurance plans to cover birth control imposes a quote substantial burden to the free exercise of religion guaranteed by the U.S. Constitution and could promote quote risky sexual behavior among adolescents. The administration told reporters Thursday night.
Risky sexual behavior by adolescents, is that what it said?
That was the quote.
Wow. I'm about 100% certain that risky sexual behavior between adolescents will happen regardless of contraceptive mm-hmm. use or not.
Right. I mean, there's science out there that's a different conversation. Anyway,
that's it.
I like the, is there like a, I don't know, I just like the risky. The risky, the adjective of risky for sexual behavior. I don't know.
The real risky business. And with that note.
And with that note, we shut JD down.
Turn off my mic, throw me out of the studio in chains.
Tatiana, any last comments?
I think that, I mean, I have so many thoughts about this, but if I could want like any conversation to happen after this, it's more so just understanding like for men who love women, for women who love women, to know that like women's health is not this like extra thing that we tack onto health. Women's health is just health if you're a woman. Right. Mm-hmm. And when I say it like that, it's like, duh. But then how are we able to compartmentalize it in a way that we can just tack it on and off of plans, tack it on and off of the conversation? Women's health is just health, especially if you're a woman. And so I'd like to see that to be part of the conversation.
Well, thank you, Tatiana, for coming on the show.
Of course.
Appreciate
it.
Absolutely. I think that's going to conclude our roundtable segment.
Yeah. Tatiana, do you mind just giving us like your title really quick so that everyone knows that you're not just like a random person that we grab from the collegiate?
Yeah.
Like, you look like you like women. It's true. I'm a fan. But I'm the managing editor of the collegiate. And so I do a lot of reporting there. Usually social issues is kind of my thing. But I manage and I edit.
Cool. Very nice.
Anyway, that'll conclude roundtable for today. We'll be coming back in just a little bit. You're listening to the Rocky Mountain Review here on 90.5 KCSU Fort Collins.
And welcome back to the Rocky Mountain Review. I am your co-news director, Gabe Peterson. My other news director, I'm going to stop saying co-news director because I guess you're right when it says it implies that there is another person. It is redundant. You're very right.
We have
JD Layton.
Maybe we just have like an extra co-news director that's just, you know.
He hides in the basement. She.
You assuming?
It doesn't matter who.
I'm
them
just joking.
Are here.
Them are here. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Them are here.
That English, though.
Well, we are going to jump right into sports.
Yeah, because that's a thing that we do.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Not me specifically, but us.
Actually, we make up CSU's football team. The three of us.
Yes.
So we make up the CSU football team.
JD's the punter.
Yes.
All right. The Colorado State cross country team is set to continue the 2017 season this Friday with what will likely be the most competitive meet of the cross country regular season. The 9th annual Nutty Combi Wisconsin Invitational in Madison, Wisconsin. The women's race is a 6K, while the men's race is an 8K. CSU's number 11 ranking on the men's side is the program's best in any week in cross country since 2003. The Rams are coming off their first ever men's team title at the Roy Gryak Invitational, as well as the program's third straight men's individual champion. The men are hoping to snag a top four spot, while the women want to prove they belong, as it is their first time at this meet. The Colorado State's women's soccer team returns home this weekend for its next round of Mountain West contests against the Boise State Broncos and the Utah State Aggies. The Rams' first opponent of the weekend, Boise State, is off to a 3-2-1 start to Mountain West play, while the Aggies are 1-3-2 in conference play. Colorado State's Sunday match against Utah State is this year's designated pinkout match. Promotions for this weekend include Vuvuzelas for the first 100 fans to attend Friday's match against the Broncos, and a free pink CSU drawstring backpack.
Ooh.
For the first 100 fans. It's the Sunday match with the Aggies. Wow, might have to go.
Dude, it's worth it for the Vuvuzelas.
I was stumped there.
I still have no idea what it is, but I appreciate your excitement nevertheless.
If you've ever seen a video of the Brazil World Cup, there was a sound that sounded like millions of bees descending on the game. That was a million Vuvuzelas being played.
Huh.
Okay, anyway, all the sports.
The CSU volleyball team is back in action tonight. After coming off a four-game road trip, the team returns home to take on San Jose State, who sits second in the Mountain West standings. The Rams are hoping to boost their number to 21 in the coaches' poll and will add some much-needed hype to this game. The game can be heard right here on this station starting at 7 p.m. with our own Nick Baker on the call. Colorado State senior quarterback Nick Stevens was named one of the top 20 quarterbacks in the nation by the Johnny Unitas Golden Arm Educational Foundation Incorporated. Wow, what a name. He looks to continue his dominance this weekend when the Rams host Nevada. Although Nevada's record is only 1-5, that doesn't mean it should be a cakewalk for the Rams. Nevada put up an aggressive 566 total offensive yards last weekend against Hawaii. The game will be played under the lights starting at 8:15 p.m. and can be seen on ESPN2.
Ooh.
Is it a night game?
It is. Homecoming, too. That was not mentioned.
Wowie Zowie.
And that was written by our sports reporter, Bjorn Larson.
Bjorn Larson.
Bjorn.
He got that title, a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, he's doing good. He's a good kid. Good kid.
Good kid, Bjorn.
He's got some nice shoes on that, lad. Hey, what's on?
So, we were going to have our music segment, as we typically do, but
you know what? No.
Come on. Mm-mm. You don't want to talk about...
We're not talking about it.
Okay, never mind.
We're going straight to weather. Let me explain to you a thing. We may work at a radio station, but weather is important.
Yes, it is. I'm getting my degree in it.
With that, we hand it off to our chief meteorologist, Gabe Peterson.
Well, thank you. Alrighty, so tomorrow's forecast is supposed to be 61 degrees for the high, 40 for the low. Looks like there's going to be no precipitation whatsoever. Looks like it's going to be a pretty calm day, no wind. And like we said on Tuesday, I told you that the weather was going to be kind of bad. But it looks like it's kind of clearing up a little bit. 55 is the high, 28 is the low. Ooh, just kidding. But it was supposed to snow on Tuesday, but now it's Thursday and it says it's just cloudy. So I suppose that's good news for the homecoming. Yeah, but I mean, you know, 45 degrees at kickoff for the CSU Rams football game. You don't get much better football weather than that.
Yeah, I feel like cold weather is a good time for
football. It's a good time to get a beer, bundle up, have a good time.
Kick back, brew, wear a blanket.
And then Sunday for the Bronco game when they host the 0-5 New York football Giants, it will be about 60 degrees with a low of 34. So again, another nice night for football. Officially fall.
Wear a blanket. Kick
back a brew.
Stop with that.
And that is the weather up until Sunday. If you want to hear next week's weather, you're just going to have to tune in next Tuesday at 4 p.m.
I'm so proud of you for doing that.
Yes, thank you.
I think JD was maybe thinking about doing a music segment for us today.
It's not a lot, but I could talk about some stuff.
Okay.
All right, let's get that music segment going, JD.
From now on, I am DJ Mir.
Oh, my God. No.
For anybody who doesn't get that reference, it's JD, DJ, Mirror. It's Mirror, not Mirror.
I apologize for my inability to enunciate the other O-R.
O-R.
Just gone.
But yeah, I have a show on Saturday.
Oh my God. Stop with your...
Shamelessly plugging myself. Yeah. It's my mind eraser, but that's not important. So, King Cruel, if anybody knows of him, he's big in Scottish People Twitter. I like that subreddit quite a bit.
Scottish People Twitter?
Yeah. So they just write, it's just tweets from Scottish people. It's great. But anyways, I digress. He's coming out with an album on tomorrow, actually. It's called The Ooze. And so King Cruel is sort of like a poppy punk jazz mix of angst and late night Scottish anxiety. It's phenomenal. And I'm excited to hear this album. I've been definitely looking forward to it. It's very hip-hoppy, and it's very sort of grungy in the way he presents his vocals. He definitely has one of the most unique voices I've ever heard in a hip-hop style setting. He raps, he sometimes sings. Hmm. He's got some super funky bass lines. And that's about it. So
King Cruel.
Well, on the same topic of that, of albums dropping tomorrow, the Front Bottoms album is actually dropping tomorrow, which I'm excited about, but also scared about. I was talking to another DJ here, and I'm like worried that it's not gonna live up to like their past albums. You know what I mean? Because it's been, I think this is like, I want to say fifth-ish album they've had.
Fifth-ish.
Well, because they've had like little like EPs two like singles and stuff like that just kind of go on their own. But anyway, I think that's going to wrap up our music segment and our last segments of the Rocky Mountain Review today. We'll be back on Tuesday. We're always on here Tuesday and Thursday, 4 to 5 p.m. And thank you, J.D. Layton, for coming in, our national news correspondent. We had so many guests in today, so that was awesome.
That was awesome.
It was a full house.
True. There was a full house that was just like a carousel, though, and we just kept like putting in new people. I am Julia Battalise. I'm one of two news directors here, and Gabe Peterson.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in. Like Julia said, we'll be back next Tuesday at 4 p.m. With JD alongside us.
I live here, so is true.
You do. Well, that's going to do it here for the Rocky Mountain Review. Thanks for tuning in, and we will see you next week.
Yep.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to the Rocky Mountain Review. Today you heard about another Fort Collins officer making headlines, a Colorado state law being shut down by the Supreme Court, as well as the spreading of wildfires in the state of California. Thank you to Michelle Fredrickson and Tatiana Talisnik for contributing to today's show. The Rocky Mountain Review is hosted by Julia Battalise and myself, Gabe Peterson. Huge thank you to our reporters, Seth Bodine, Joe Green, J.D. Layton, Raven Culler, Will Bundy, and Bjorn Larson for contributing content for today's show. This podcast was produced by Joe Wood, Julia Battalise, and myself. You can find these podcasts on iTunes, SoundCloud, or at kcsufm.com. The Rocky Mountain Review is provided by 90.5 KCSU, Fort Collins.